I'd like to read four short passages of Scripture. The first in the Epistle to the Romans, and chapter 1, Paul, bondman of Jesus Christ, a called apostle, separated to God's glad tidings, which he had before promised by his prophets and holy writings, concerning his Son, come of David's seed according to flesh, marked out, Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by a resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now could we read in the Gospels. In Luke's Gospel, Luke 7 and verse 11, and it came to pass afterwards, he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as they drew near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she a widow, and a very considerable crowd of the city was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, was moved with compassion for her, and said to her, weep not. And coming up, he touched the bier, and the bearer stopped. And he said, youth, I say to thee, wake up. And the dead sat up and began to speak. And he gave him to his mother. And fear seized on all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has been raised up amongst us, and God has visited his people. Luke 8 and verse 40. And it came to pass when Jesus returned, the crowd received him gladly, for they were all expecting him. And behold, a man came, whose name was Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at the feet of Jesus, besought him to come to his house, because he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. And as he went, the crowd thronged him. Verse 49. While he was yet speaking, come someone from the ruler of the synagogue, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But Jesus, hearing it, answered him, saying, fear not, only believe, and she shall be made well. And when he came to the house, he suffered no one to go in but Peter and John and James and the father of the child and the mother, and all were weeping and lamenting her. But he said, do not weep, for she has not died but sleeps. And they derided him, knowing that she had died. But he, having turned them all out, and taking hold of her hand, cried, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and immediately she rose up, and he commanded something to eat to be given to her. And lastly, in John 11, and we'll read from verse 33. Jesus, therefore, when he saw her, that's Mary, weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you put him? That's Lazarus, the brother. They say to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The Jews, therefore, said, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, who's opened the eyes of the blind man, of course, that this man also should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again deeply moved in himself, comes to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead, says to him, Lord, he stinks already, for he's 4 days there. Jesus says to her, did I not say to thee, that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? They took therefore the stone away. And Jesus lifted up his eyes on high and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. But I knew that thou always hearest me. But on account of the crowd who stand around, I have said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And having said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead came forth, bound feet and hands with grave clothes, and his face was bound round with a handkerchief. Jesus says to them, loose him and let him go. I want to speak about Jesus as the Son of God, marked out Son of God by resurrection of the dead. Jesus, of course, himself rose from the dead. He came here. He lived a perfect life. He died here. He was crucified here. He shed his precious blood upon the cross at Calvary. He entered into a marvelous transaction with God to open the door of blessing to every man, woman, and child. And Jesus died, and he rose again the third day. And he's now in heaven, exalted at the right hand of God. It says in Romans, marked out Son of God, power by resurrection of the dead. The note there says it's dead persons. And Jesus, when he was here, he raised three people that were recorded from the dead. The young man, as mentioned in Luke 7, the girl who was 12 years old, and Lazarus. Whether he raised any more, we don't know, but these are recorded in the Bible. He's marked out Son of God in power by resurrection of the dead. He could do what no one else can do. Great thing to have in our minds, that there's no one in the universe that can compare with the Lord Jesus Christ. Marked out, Son of God, in power by resurrection of the dead. What a wonderful person I'm speaking about. I can speak feebly of him. Others here can speak feebly of him. Everyone who believes in him can speak about him. But he's a wonderful person. A wonderful person. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about him in the Gospels in different settings. And in the first we read about, he comes to the city. Doesn't say anybody asked him to come. Jesus didn't come to this world having been asked to come. He came of his own volition. God says in the Old Testament, I will come myself to save you. And God did come to save his people from their sins in the person of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's a striking thing in this passage. Nobody asked him to intervene. He comes along to the city of Nain. Very sad incident met him. And there he was. This young man had died. He's been carried out to be buried. And he tells us about the circumstances. His mother was a widow. And he was a young man. No doubt she would be expecting him to support her as he grew older. Maybe he was supporting her already. But he wasn't asked to intervene. Jesus can intervene sovereignly in any situation he wants. And he did that when he was here. He came here to save his people from their sins. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Millions of people in this world today don't care tuppence about Jesus. But he came to save them from their sins. He came to become the saviour of humanity. But he comes to this situation and he intervenes. He intervenes sovereignly. He could do what no one else could do. No doubt this considerable crowd that came with this woman who was going out to bury her son. No doubt everyone wished that he could have come back to life. No doubt everyone wished they could have helped her. But they couldn't do one thing to help. But he's the Son of God. Son of God, marked out, Son of God, in power, by resurrection of the dead. He comes along, he sees this coffin being carried. It must be an open coffin, because he was able to touch this bier, and the dead person sat up. He sat up. And he could do that at the touch of Jesus. You know, it's a wonderful thing when Jesus intervenes sovereignly in any one of our lives. When Jesus intervenes in anybody's life, irrespective of who they are, what they've done, Christ can intervene in a person's life and change it forever. He's the Son of God. How great is his mighty power. How Great is his power. No doubt the greatest demonstration of his power of all was that he rose from among the dead. He himself was crucified. He himself was with dead persons. He actually lay in death. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He actually lay in a tomb, in a cave. He lay there for 3 days, 3 nights, then he rose again. He rose again. The gospel centers round a living Savior. Not just a Bible, not just a book of rules, not just theories. We serve a living Savior who died and lives again. And here he is intervening in the life of this young man. He sat up when Jesus spoke to him. Youth, I say to thee, wake up. Wake up. You heard the call of Jesus? Wake up. Wake up. What a good call it was. The dead sat up. What did he do? Began to speak. I wonder what he said. Doesn't tell us what he said. Maybe he said thank you to Jesus. I don't know what he said. Later on we read about people who were cleansed from the lepers. One knew he was cleansed. He came back and he thanked Jesus for what he'd done. Great thing to be thankful to Jesus for what he's done. Intervening sovereignly in any one of our lives. So he woke up. He says the dead sat up, began to speak, and they gave him to his mother. And fear seized in all, and they glorified God. Well might they do that. There it was, and they said, a great prophet has been raised up. Great prophet. And God has visited his people. That's what he did. God visited his people in the person of Jesus. The great prophet. Muslims say Jesus is a prophet. But he's more than a prophet. But he is a prophet. He is a prophet. He brought the mind of God. He brought the words of God from heaven to earth. He came from heaven. He came with a message of God. And he told out the message of God. But he did more than that. He was more than a prophet. He's a great prophet. But he's the great Son of God. He's a wonderful Savior. Mighty God. Mighty God. Father of eternity. Prince of Peace, how great is the Lord Jesus. Well might have said in Isaiah, his name is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, Father of eternity, Prince of Peace. But he's a great prophet. Here he was, they realized that someone special was in their midst. And he was special. More than a prophet though, he was a Son of God. Marked out, Son of God in power. By resurrection from among the dead. He was a young man raised from the dead, and he started by speaking. Great thing to speak. Great thing for young men to speak. To speak on behalf of Jesus. Speak about the wonderful Savior that had done so much for them. And so he speaks, and we don't know what he said, but we do know this, that the great fear seized on people. They realized that God was working. They realized there was a power that's far, far greater than anything else they'd ever experienced in their lives. That God was there in Jesus, and the fear of God seized upon them. Good thing to have the fear of God. A rare commodity in this world. Great thing to have the fear of God. And they had it. Not because of something bad they'd done, but because of the greatness of what Christ has done. I've come across people like that. People who've seen a person converted and it's had an effect upon them. Doesn't mean say they got converted, but they felt the effect of it in their lives, having seen someone who came to faith in Christ. So the dead sat up, they began to speak, and fear seized on all, and they glorified God. You know, that's the end of the gospel, that God gets the glory, man gets the blessing, God gets the glory, through a person coming to faith in Christ. A person proving the touch of Christ in their lives even today. In the second instance, we have another sad situation. We have a situation about a girl. She was 12 years old and she was dying. It was a sad situation. But we have someone who's concerned about it and he comes to Jesus. You know, it's a great thing to have a resource to turn to. We've been hearing this afternoon about a young lad, unwell, seriously unwell. You know, it's a wonderful thing we can come to Jesus. We can tell him about it. We can ask him to intervene. We can ask him to do that. And in this case, this ruler of the synagogue, he came to Jesus and he asked Jesus to come. He was desperate about it. He was urgent about it. Tells us his name, tells us the ruler of the synagogue. He was a person with some respect in the community, but he fell at the feet of Jesus. He was earnest about it. He fell at the feet of Jesus and he besought him to come to his house. He besought him. He was earnest. You know, we should pray it earnestly. If we pray at all, we should pray earnestly. God's in the heavens. Christ is at the right hand of God. We can bring our petitions in the name of Jesus before the throne of grace. What a privilege it is. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And this man, he came to Jesus. Jesus was there. And he came to him personally. And he asked him to go and heal his daughter. So there he is. What was he going to do? And Jesus went. As we know, he intervened to heal somebody else. You know, there's nothing unexpected that Jesus can't deal with. That's a wonderful thing, you know. Things happen in life unexpectedly. But sometimes I don't feel equal to them. And sometimes you might not feel equal to them. But I'll tell you this, I know a person who is equal to them. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can help everybody in any circumstance, whatever. What a wonderful Savior he is. He's available to every man, woman and child today. He was available, might say, to relatively few when he was here on earth because he became incarnate. He had a body. He went about. If he was in Jerusalem, he wasn't in Galilee. He wasn't in two places at the one time. Now he's gone to glory at the right hand of God, and he's personally available to everyone in every part of the world. Whosoever turns to the Lord can know what it is. Whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. So, he's going along towards this house of the ruler. And the ruler gets sad news. Not only was this girl ill, but she'd actually died. And that man's faith then was tested. Did he say to Jesus, well, there's no point in coming any further. Nothing else can happen. Jesus is the Son of God. Marked out Son of God by resurrection of the dead. And he comes along to this house where this girl had died. And there were people there mourning her, lamenting her, weeping, lamenting her. I think in those days they had professional mourners who came along and made a big stir and fuss. But Jesus says to the man, fear not, only believe and she shall be made well. He told him not to trouble the teacher anymore. But the man did believe. The man did believe. He believed that Jesus could help him. Jesus can help anyone. Maybe he doesn't always help us the way we want. The Apostle Paul once asked Jesus to take away some trouble he had. Whether it was an illness or what it was he had, it's something that's called in the Bible a thorn in the flesh. And he asked Jesus to take it away. He asked him once, no doubt he asked him earnestly. He asked him twice, no doubt earnestly. He asked him a third time, and Jesus told him no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. God doesn't always answer prayers the way we want, but he does answer prayer. He's a God who answers prayers. So this man here, he comes with Jesus along to the house. He tells him, don't weep. She hasn't died, but sleeps. And he goes in. He turns all these people out and he takes hold of her hand. Wonderful Jesus takes hold of the hand of a girl. There he is. He's the mighty God, the creator of the universe. But he's here in manhood and he takes hold of someone's hand. And it's a lovely thought, isn't it? He takes hold of her hand. Personal touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to get a personal touch from the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Not just at the start of your life, but all through your life. She gets that. He takes her by the hand, crying, saying, child, arise. Think of that. The Son of God's here on earth. He said two words, child, arise. The voice of the Son of God. How powerful a voice it is. One day all who are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and go forth. those who have practiced good to resurrection of life, those who have practiced evil to resurrection of judgment. How powerful is the voice of the Son of God. By hearing of the voice of the Son of God, the sinner's Saviour, the Saviour of the world, the one who came to help his people, save his people from their sins, there he was. He says these two words, child, arise. What happened? It says, taking hold of her hand, he said, child, arise. Her spirit returned, and immediately she rose up at the voice of the Son of God, marked out, Son of God, in power by resurrection of the dead. Wonderful Saviour. Then he asked them to do something. Asked her parents to do something. He asked for something to eat to be given to her. There's things that Jesus does, and there's things he expects his people to do. So here's a young girl, 12 years old, well, she needs something to eat, wouldn't she? Keep her alive. He asked for something to eat to be given to her. And I think, you know, when you study the scriptures, you see some things that God does, and only God can do. That Christ does, and only Christ can do. But you can see some things that he expects his people to do. And he expected the parents of that child to feed her, to give her food, so she would be sustained in life. And no doubt that's what they did. But that's what he commanded. He commanded something to eat to be given to her. I refer to Lazarus, the third instance in the Gospels of Jesus who brought someone who was dead to life again. Lazarus, of course, was a lover of Jesus. Jesus calls him his friend. Lazarus, our friend. A lovely chapter in John's Gospel. In fact, he says, and Jesus says in John 11, this sickness, that's the sickness of Lazarus, is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Well, Lazarus did die. Jesus wasn't there. And the sisters of Lazarus sent to Jesus that he'd come when he was told he was sick, but he didn't come right away. And when he came, Lazarus was 4 days in the grave. He comes again, but he's the Son of God. Son of God. Interesting, although he's so powerful, yet how sympathetic and compassionate he was to these dear sisters who were weeping and mourning the loss of their brother. But he comes along and says Jesus wept himself. He wept. And he demonstrated publicly how much he loved him. The Jews saw that, how much he had loved his friend Lazarus. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be loved by Jesus. I'm loved by Jesus. So is everybody here loved by Jesus. Jesus loves me. Wonderful thing to know as you go through life that the Lord Jesus loves you. Paul could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I remember a very bad time in my Christian experience when lots of things were going on that shouldn't have gone on among God's people. I remember just going into my car one day and that scripture coming before me, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, it's a wonderful thing. You can just revert back into that. In times of pressure, times of trouble, just to know that Jesus loves you personally. He loves you personally. He died for you on the cross. He lives for you in glory. He's going to come for you one day. One day you'll have a body of glory like to his own body of glory. And meantime, he sympathizes and cares for us while we're still here in days of difficulty and pressure and testing in this world. So Jesus demonstrated, before he did anything for Lazarus, he demonstrated that he loved him and he cared for these sisters and was compassionate towards them. What a wonderful Saviour he is. He's the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the one who's the first, the one who's the last, the one who's the living one, the one who'll resolve all the problems in the universe. And here he was at the grave of Lazarus, sympathetic towards those that were mourning and demonstrating that he really and truly loved that man who had died. But then he goes to the tomb, and Martha, although she believed that such a thing as resurrection, and that's good enough, that was good so far, she believed, much in an orthodox way, that there'd be such a thing as a resurrection. Jesus had said to her earlier, "I am the resurrection and the life." He's the resurrection. Resurrection centres on him. Marked out, Son of God, by resurrection of the dead. He's the resurrection and the life. And so he says, "Take away the stone." And Martha says, "What was true? Lord, he stinks already. He's 4 days there." But nothing's too hard for Christ. I think of the millions of people who've died. You know, people say, "What's happened to him? Where's the dust gone?" I don't know. God knows. But I know this. He's the resurrection. Christ is the resurrection and the life. What a wonderful person he is. There's nobody in the universe to compare with Jesus. And so he says, "Take the stone away." He says that, first of all, "Did I not say, if you believe, you see the glory of God?" They took the stone away. They did what Jesus told them to do. Good thing to do what Jesus tells us to do. He says in the Bible, his commandments are not grievous. But he does give us commands. He does give us commandments. Let's make sure if we're Christians, we obey the commandments of Jesus. And in this, it was a simple command. Take the stone away. And they took the stone away. They rolled it away. And Jesus then prays. He prays publicly. Short prayer. John 17 is a much longer prayer. But he prays and he thanks the Father that he was heard. But he desired that those around might believe that the Father had sent him. And then, having said that, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Think of that. 3 words from the lips of the Son of God. "Lazarus, come forth." Could Lazarus stay in the grave after that? He could not. He could not. The voice of the Son of God. He came out. "Lazarus, come forth." He was named and he came out. He came out from the grave. How great Jesus is. The voice of the Son of God. He calls him and out he comes. He says, bound feet and hands with grave clothes. Face bound round with a handkerchief. In other words, he was in grave clothes. He'd been put into the tomb. He'd been stinking already in that tomb. And the voice of the Son of God was heard, and Lazarus comes out. And what does Jesus say then? Does he take the grave clothes off him? No, he doesn't. He gives that to the others to do. He says, "Loose him and let him go." Interesting what Jesus did. He gave the opportunity to others to assist, you might say, with setting him free. And you know, it's a great thing to be available to the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't convert anyone, and neither can I convert anyone, but we could be available to anyone that the Lord has touched, and maybe give a word of encouragement, something to set the person free, something to make them comfortable, something to make them understand perhaps a verse of scripture that's troubling them, something to help them forward in the Christian road. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Loose him and let him go. Well, let's be impressed once again. Jesus is the Son of God, marked out, Son of God in power by the resurrection of the dead. He accomplished these wonderful things from here on earth. He's still doing wonderful things. He will still do further wonderful things. But how wonderful to belong to him, to know him as our own personal Saviour, to know what it is to have received a touch from Jesus in our own lives, and to know what it is for him to be our life. "Because I live," Jesus said, "they also shall live." Great thing to live. And live with the life of Christ until that day when we see him face to face. May the Lord bless us all, for his name's sake. Amen.